You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 140. And we have a guest on the show today, Julie. I've actually just finished recording the session with Julie, so here I am putting the beginning of the show on now that I know what it's about. And as you know, if you've been listening to The Dream Show for a while, when we have a guest on the show, I don't know anything at all about the dream that the guest is going to ask me to interpret. And we do that for a reason. We do it because people tell us, people like you tell us, that you enjoy the process of listening to me listen to the dream for the first time and how I and the dreamer interact as we explore and interpret the dream and do the dream alchemy. So you'll hear all of that today with Julie. I love, as you hear, that Julie describes a dream, a very interesting and funny dream, and then at the end of the dream she says, oh, and there's this bit tagged on the end, but I don't think it's really got anything to do with it. And then as you listen to it, you'll feel, it's got a lot to do with it actually. So as well as Julie responding to the interpretation and saying, as you'll hear her say, oh, I know what this is about, and towards the end she explains what's happening in her life and how it relates to the dream, you'll also just by listening to the process, you'll pick up lots of tips about how to interpret dreams, whether they're your own dreams or whether they're the dreams of families, you know, your family or friends or colleagues that you're trying to help them understand their dreams too. So there's not only the joy of listening to Julie relate to her dream and how it relates to her life, but also lots of practical tips for you too. And I think also one other thing that I love about having a guest on the show is that we can all learn so much from other people's lives. No matter how similar or different they are from our own lives, there's always something to be taken away from every dream that you listen to. So enjoy this one, but just before we hand you over to Julie, I'll just remind you of the websites, which seem to be growing in number. If you haven't been to the shop for a while, it has now evolved in, it's much bigger and different, has lots of new products and services in it. So if you haven't been there for a while, please go to janetheresaanderson.com. That's the URL of the Dream Store, janetheresaanderson.com. That's Teresa without an H, of course. Have a look there and pass the link round. If you want to listen to all the episodes of The Dream Show that have ever been, all 140 of them, you'll find them on my blog, which is janetheresa.com. So in other words, it doesn't have my surname in the URL. janetheresa.com, you'll be able to find and listen to all the episodes of The Dream Show, and that is also where all my blogs are. And I think, there's probably 300 or 400 blog articles on there too. So lots and lots of stuff about dreams and dream interpretation and life in general as it relates to dreams on my blog at janetheresa.com, or go to my main website, which is dream.net.au, or find me on Facebook. Do all that later. For now, put your feet up and listen to Julie's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Julie.
Thank you, Jane Theresa.
Have you had a lovely day so far?
I have. I've had a day that started out very slow and has picked up pace and is now pacing along at great speed. So it's been good. It's been a surprising day.
Can we hear you huffing and puffing there?
Yes, probably you can.
Thank you for being a guest on The Dream Show. So as usual, and as all our listeners know, I have no idea what your dream is, what it's going to be about until you start telling us. So Julie, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jane Theresa. Well, I don't have many dreams, or I don't have many that I remember, and this was a particularly vivid one that occurred just a few days ago. I was in a house, and it was supposedly my house, although it wasn't the house I recognise as mine, but I certainly felt I was in my home. And I was visited by my sister-in-law, who I don't see a lot, but it was pleasant to see her, and she was coming because she had this new job in the dream as a carpet layer. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I just need some new carpets. And so she was there rolling out all these sort of reams of carpet, And she starts to tell me that, oh, nowadays we don't lay carpet as we used to in the old days, you know, with tacks and those wooden frame things and the underlay. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. And she said, no, we do it now by this gas vacuuming process. And she's explaining this very complicated means by which they turn on some gas and it sort of sucks the rug to the floor. And I'm kind of thinking, oh, okay, it's interesting. And had no reason to think, you know, there was anything kind of really very weird about that because I'm, you know, thinking everything, life changes and develops. And then she started sort of choosing the carpet for me, if you like, but I was okay with that because I kind of thought, no, she knows what she's doing. But she was rolling out this big roll of crimson, and I can still see the colours very vividly, crimson and then turquoise and then a sort of a deep blue. But on all the rolls, there was this sort of royal crest, you know, like you would have, like a royal crown with little bits of leaves and lions intervened. And just one, though, not all over it. And I kind of thought, oh, not about this. This is weird. So I then seemed to have sort of gone away for a bit and came back thinking, oh, well, the carpet will be all done now. So when I came back, it was okay. Like, I wasn't up, you know, I wasn't minding this. But when I looked up at the ceiling on one room, and it seemed to be just a section of the lounge room, of the ceiling, she had put lime green carpet on the ceiling.
And
I just kind of thought, what? No, that wasn't in the plan, you know, like, and I'm thinking, why did she put carpet on the ceiling? And she said, well, that was in the drawing, and she was very adamant that she had done exactly what I had left for her to do. And I said, I'm sure it wasn't. Why on earth would I want carpet on the ceiling, much less lime green? And then at that point, my husband seemed to be there, and he said, well, of course not. He said, why would we want lime? Why would we want carpet on the ceiling? He said, we've got really nice ceilings. And he was sort of pointing out that we had these lovely plaster cornices. But in fact, we don't in our real house. We don't. But I know what he meant. So I was kind of also thinking, yes, that's right. She's covered up all our beautiful ceiling. And so that was the sort of end of it. You know, I don't know how we resolve this and whether perhaps she might have said something along the lines of, well, all right, then I can take it down, but it's a big thing. So I kind of had this sense that it would be okay, you know, we wouldn't be left with this hideous thing on the ceiling. Mm. And that was really the end of that dream. And then I had another sort of strange little adjunct dream, which had nothing at all to do with this or different people. And it seemed to involve an aunt of mine who was aging, and she has moved to the Gold Coast, a long way away from where she lives now in Brisbane, and she just has, and she had moved into this unit overlooking the sea, which was all lovely, and I was walking through the unit with her thinking, I wonder why she's moved down here, this is such a long way to go, and she's getting old, but she seemed to be very enthusiastic about it, and as we walked from room to room, she was pointing out things that I recognised as being my mother's, and I kept thinking, that was Mum's. How has she ended up with that? You know, like a photo frame or a little box and a towel rack and I kind of didn't say anything. I was sort of, it was okay that she had them. I didn't mind. I was kind of almost a bit comforted by this, but I just sort of thought, I wonder why she's moved down here and what's been behind this. And that was really the end of it.
Well, that's very interesting. It is an adjunct, Julie. We'll go into it, but I can see some carryover themes there. So I'm glad that you appended that bit there as well. Right, that's lovely. I love your colour schemes.
I dream in colour, obviously.
It's funny, you know, I said I wasn't going to, I said I'd look at the adjunct after looking at the main dream just now, but you know, when I interpret dreams, I sometimes just jump in at the end, and suddenly I feel like jumping in at the end at the adjunct, because what I noticed when I was listening to you talking about both those dreams, in both the dream segments, you said towards the end, you know, it was okay, like it was okay, but I wondered why. So both the, you know, that was the statement you had with the lime green carpet, like it's okay, but I wonder why. And at the end about her moving to the Gold Coast, it's okay, but I wonder why. So that same kind of ending tells us that both dreams were really processing a similar thing, but just from a different angle, you know, just like you can imagine somebody putting on a stage play to get a point across and then getting to the end and going, maybe that didn't work. Maybe I'll try a different scene and different actors to get across the message. So that's kind of what we got going there. So I'm going to, and other things that I noticed between the two, which I will put together, is they're both involved change. You know, in the first one, your sister-in-law came to put down new carpet, so there was a change there. And you even said that as you were listening to her tell you about this wonderful new gas vacuuming process, that you said, well, that's okay, you know, everything changes. And in the second dream, with your aunt moving to the Gold Coast, you were saying, well, you know, why has she moved? Basically, why has she made this change? And the other great theme that I see, apart from home decor, between the two, is a reference to time. You know, you're, in the second part, your aunt was aging, and yet she'd made a move. And in the first dream with the carpets, it's like you make a you make a statement about, your sister-in-law makes a statement that this was the old way and this is the new way. So there's that kind of thing in both dreams about old and new and move and change. And it's okay, but why? We'll go through each dream and I'll ask you a few more questions and we'll make some sense of them.
Okay.
If we go to your first dream, Julie, with your sister-in-law, you said you don't see her that often. So with your sister-in-law, if you could pick three words to describe her personality or her approach to life, without thinking too hard, just off the sort of top of your mind, what would those three words be?
Oh, I think tasteful would certainly be a first one, kind of jumps to mind. Aloof. Busy.
Tasteful, aloof, and busy. That's really good because when we have other people in our dreams, they're often there to represent something about us or something about our beliefs or something about an issue that we're dealing with at the time of the dream. So one of those may come up as we look through the dream. So if I say to you, what are the opposites to those? What not the logical opposites, just whatever occurs to you as the opposite of tasteful, what would it be?
Probably inclusive, I suppose, you know, as in not so particular, you know, kind of a little more...
Yeah.
A little more random in selection of things rather than being absolutely precise about it.
If that makes sense. That kind of hangs in there with the lime green carpet as well. The opposite to what she actually is. and the opposite to aloof?
I guess available, you know, available or engaged.
And the opposite to busy?
Relaxed, I guess.
Relaxed, that's great. So it's really beautiful. You know, this is a key thing that you do when you have someone in your dream and say, you know, which three words would come to you without thinking too hard and then looking for the opposites without being logical opposites. And it's always really interesting, you know, different people to busy might have said not busy or very quiet, you know, you've got relax, which is quite different. And what we have there is a range. So you've got like tasteful at one end, and your feeling of the opposite to tasteful is kind of inclusive, not so particular, a bit random. So that's kind of like you can imagine that as a continuum of perspectives, all the way from tasteful at one end to random at the other. And then the same with aloof, you've got a kind of line between aloof at one extreme and available, engaged at the other, and the third one of busy at one extreme and relaxed at the other. So right up the front of the dream, you know, you've got, okay, you're in a house, it feels like your house even though it's a dream house. That's fine, that's good. So what the beginning of the dream usually is really making a statement of the situation in your life that the dream is processing, because that's what dreams do. They're processing your experiences of the last couple of days, trying to make sense of them. So we open up with this feeling of this is my house. So in other words, this dream really is something about you and how you feel about you. And the first thing that comes up is your sister-in-law. So it's like, in my life in the last couple of days, there's come an issue that may be something about tasteful to random, maybe something about aloof to engaged, maybe something about busy to relaxed. We're going to find out as we go on with the dream. But one of these represents an issue that has really kind of come into my life the last couple of days, which the rest of the dream is going to have a look at. And it's funny, you know, because when you said aloof, I thought, well, you know, we all know what aloof means, but I kind of related that to the carpet being on the ceiling and looking at the ceiling, because when we're aloof, we're kind of up above things, you know, but we'll come back to that later. So so she came into your house as a carpet layer, and you were, yay, good, right, I need carpets, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we might then think, well, what could the carpets represent? The carpets are things that go on the floor, they go underfoot, to some extent. Well, I know what I feel carpets represent. What do carpets feel like they represent to you personally, Julie?
Solidity, I think. I don't know, something about, kind of comfort and familiarity or something. I don't know, I kind of feel some way, I think of a carpet as being something that's sort of soft and warm and I want to lie on and kind of, you know, kind of own, and yeah, something solid about
that's absolutely beautiful. You are wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's so good, because, you know, to some people they might think kind of solidity and yet soft and warm, they feel like different things, but I know exactly what you mean. And it's interesting that in the, now where did I see that before? Where did I see somewhere else you said something about comfortable? I'm just looking through the notes that I took quickly while you were telling me about it there. Was it in the second part with you? Oh, at the end of the aunt part of the dream, you said, I felt a bit comforted that she'd moved down to the Gold Coast.
That's right. I felt comforted that she had my mother's things.
And that she
even
had.
Though I was wondering how she came by them, I kind of felt, because she was my mother's sister and my mother had passed away, so I felt that it was nice that she had these things of my mother's, even though I didn't know she had them.
Right, that's really lovely. So the second snippet of the dream ends with this feeling that you get some amount of comfort, even though you're asking the question, you're thinking, actually, I feel comfort about this. Mm-hmm. And in the first dream, the your associations with carpets have an element of comfort in them as well, comfort, familiarity. So mm-hmm. there's another link in the dream. So at this part in the dream, your sister-in-law's there, and there's some feeling in the dream that you're getting a new carpet. So in the couple of days before the dream, there was some feeling that you were getting, or had the promise of, or were getting a new feeling of solidity, comfort, familiarity, in a kind of soft and warm, like you said, I'd like to lay down and roll on it. So that's a really beautiful feel. So there was some kind of feeling that came into your life, and as we go through the dream, like, it's great, it was a bit new, it was like, that's interesting, this isn't achieved in the old way with tax and underlay, there's a new way this is achieved. So we'll look at that later, but again, it's that feeling, Julie, that something has come into my life which has solidity, comfort, familiarity, but it hasn't, it's not coming into my life in the kind of nuts and bolts ways that I'm used to. It's not coming to me in the old familiar way. It's coming to me in some kind of new way or new structure. Yeah, you're okay with that. We don't know why it's gas vacuuming.
I'm already recognizing that to be the truth.
Oh, good. That's great. I'm glad. Later on, I may ask you if you can share that with us to some degree. So hold on to that thought at the moment. That's so really lovely. And the moment that you're talking about a dream and you begin to get, I know what this is, of course, then where we go to after that begins to make more sense, because you attach it to that. So there's a little bit of a sense in the dream, Julie, that although you're happy with it, you know, you make the acknowledgement, well, you know, everything changes. And you have some degree of, although she's making the choices, you have some degree of having handed that that choice to her. You know, she chose it. She knows what she's doing, you're saying in the dream. So there's a sense that because everyone and everything in the dream represents something about you, there's a sense also that there's a part of yourself which is making these new choices, which you can relate to, and we as listeners don't know about yet. And you're giving over that choice. It's like me, the Julie that might have thought this way or that way, might have made other choices, but I'm open to this new way. There's a part of myself here which has some different modern ideas, and you know, I'm I'm confident. I'll see how this unrolls being a carpet.
Okay,
So there's that sense.
Yeah.
So the colours of the carpet at that stage are crimson, turquoise, and deep blue. So what kind of feeling do those colours give you?
Kind of a little bit of I don't know. They kind of feel old. They feel like somewhere I used to be. How can I put this? They feel like carpet or colours I might have seen in an older person's house, not in my house. Mm-hmm. So part of me was thinking, oh, I wouldn't have chosen that, but they're quite nice. Yeah.
Yes.
I
okay.
Think, yeah.
So that brings in that theme again, doesn't it, of old and new. But in this case, it's like we haven't got to the Royal Crest yet, but at this stage, it's like it might belong to an older person's house, but in the dream, but I quite like that. There's that feeling. So although she's although you're rolling out something that's new and giving, oh, this could be a new way of doing things. Let's see, I feel comfortable about this. What actually gets rolled out, at least at this stage, is something that has some element of, well, I guess you said familiarity before, some element of the past or tradition or something like that. But then you notice the Royal Crest, the leaves and the lions. How did that make you feel in the dream?
Hesitant, kind of, you know, it was sort of strange. I felt a bit, I remember feeling a little bit like, perhaps this is very much the latest thing, or this is okay, like, even though I don't think this is what I would put on a carpet, perhaps I don't know what's best, you know?
Okay,
I kind of had a sense of, well, look, won't show my ignorance here by saying, what in the hell is that? I'll just kind of act like, well, yeah, of course you put crests on your carpet these days. Yeah, there was a sense of, I didn't feel I had a big enough case to really object. So I guess it was kind of a little bit of maybe intimidation, or not as strong as that. But
yeah. So in a sense, you were sort of torn a little bit between trusting the process because you didn't know enough about it, but bordering on intimidation.
Yes.
And as you said there, you said something that I wrote down, which is totally illegible. I wonder what I wrote down there.
Perhaps I said I then left the room for a while or something. Was it all? No.
Yeah, maybe. It's that feeling of, so whatever it was that you are relating to that this carpet represents that we've yet to find out, but you already sort of thought, I think I know what that's about. There's this feeling of going with the flow because maybe I don't really know. Maybe this is the newfangled thing. Maybe this isn't actually old. Maybe this is new. I just don't know enough about this. But you're questioning, should I be trusting this or am I feeling a bit intimidated here because I'm not being included in the decision making?
The choice.
So, the choice. So have a little think about later on about how that may relate to the thing that was in your life a couple of days before the dream. So you're hesitant, but you're still going with it at the moment. And again, you say, it's okay, but all of a sudden, it's okay, but what is that lime green carpet doing on my ceiling?
Yes, that was definitely not okay.
No. So that was definitely kind of over the line, wasn't it?
It was a bridge too far.
A bridge too far. Tell me about the colour lime green.
Well, it was just as you can imagine, an iridescent green. Almost looked a bit like a putting green on the roof, on the ceiling, you know, that kind of look.
Mm.
It was very strange and very ugly and very strange that it just was this square. It didn't even cover the whole of the ceiling of the room that was being carpeted. It was just like a defined square that had been attached, to the ceiling.
How big was it roughly, gut response?
I would say kind of like about maybe a 12 foot by 12 foot type sort of area.
Yeah. 12 by 12. And as you're standing, imagining yourself in the dream looking up at the ceiling, is it to the right or the left, in front of you, behind?
It's kind of in front of me. I'm not standing directly under it. I'm standing sort of away from it, so I'm sort of looking ahead and up at it.
head and up. So it's kind of centre-ish.
Yeah, centre, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes the numbers that we choose, just a gut response like 12 by 12 or imagining that size, can actually be quite significant too. It's really odd how accurate numbers and dreams or perceived measurements and dreams can be. So 12 in this particular case may represent something about 12 weeks, 12 days, 12 years. When you were 12, 12 years ago, it usually tends to represent 12 years ago, but it can be any of these or any significance that you have to the number 12. So I won't ask you just yet what it might be, but if we think back 12 years, which would be 2001, I think.
Yeah.
You might just want to tag that in your mind and just think, did anything change, or was there anything significant about 2001?
Well, yes, I had really sort of started a new job at that time. That was probably the most significant thing.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to that later. So that gives us this kind of anchor at the moment. So sometimes, like this lime green thing that's 12 by 12 may or may not be referring to this represents something that's been around in your life for about 12 years, and it may be about whatever happened when you got the new job in 2001 or related to that change. So something that's been around since then. Now, you said it was a bit like a putting green. So what do you associate with a putting green?
It was kind of soft. It was certainly bright. Putting greens, I think of as being extra groomed, sort of,
extra,
you know,
extra
sort of very low pile, low shag, very smooth kind of.
And what do you use a putting green for?
Well, it can be to practice sinking a ball into its target hole.
Mm-hmm.
To finish off a game, I guess.
Okay, so those are some nice sort of possible symbols around this yucky, ugly lime green carpet. Is that it may represent practice, and it may represent extra groomed. But we'll come back to that. It definitely did not look extra groomed and nice in your dream house. And what I loved about, I actually love both of your dreams, they're really so positive and good, we're just getting our teeth into them. But what I loved about that is the ceiling is kind of the opposite to the carpet. You know, the carpet's on the floor, you look down, there's the floor, you look up, there's the ceiling. They're like the two opposites in the house. So whereas your carpet represented to you kind of solidity, comfort, familiarity. If we're looking at the ceiling as being the opposite to that, it's probably not surprising that it's ugly. It's uncomfortable. Yuck. What's on the ceiling can also be what's in the top of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas the carpet and the ground can be kind of what's your foundation in a sense. So, you know, in that way, too, you said the putting green can be like where you are, you've got your eyes on the hole and you're using the putting green to sink the ball in the hole. So there's a kind of metaphor there for aiming for a goal. So if you relate that to 2001, new job, extra groomed, practicing, a place to really try to aim the ball for the hole or go for a goal, that may begin to make some sense, except in your dream it's like, yuck, why on earth would I have something like that in my vision or being? So there's some sense of something about those days or that vision or that goal being something that's in the current context not quite right. But what I loved about that was how your husband came into the dream and agreed with you and basically said, but we've got such nice plaster cornices underneath. So it's like, why are you imposing this extra thing when we've already got something absolutely beautiful? is the sense at the end of the dream, which I will interpret, but I'm just sort of getting you into that kind of feeling at the moment. So when you think of plaster cornices, which you've said you don't actually have in your life, what kind of feeling do they give you?
I think they're nostalgic for me because our first house had them. My grandmother's house, the house I grew up in, had them. So I think of them as... And I can remember my father was terribly proud of ours because he... You know, we had a very kind of a very average upbringing in terms of wealth and financial status, but he had a real pride in the fact that when he built our house, he was able to afford just a couple of little, what you would call luxuries, and one of these was the tiled roof, and the other one was these beautiful cornices, whereas a lot of other people just went for, I suppose, fibro or whatever was the standard 1950s kind of finish. So we kind of were made aware, not overtly, but just that that was something really nice, and he was proud of them. And we'd look up and we would often think, aren't they nice, you know, because they had the kind of scrolly things around the edge and the nice corners. And so I think of it. I think of them when I see them, and I go into people's houses and I notice them, I think they're, oh, that's nice. That's oh, Dad would like those kind of. I don't know. That's my feeling about it.
Oh, that's really lovely. So there's the feeling at the end of the dream that that whatever was happening in your life the couple of days before the dream, there was a whole mental and emotional processing which the dream is reflecting, which ended in you basically saying or thinking or feeling, look, you know, the values from my dad at some stage about just adding the little luxuries that make the difference, something about pride, you know, he was proud of them. And I love the way you said there, although it was a ceiling and it's obvious, you said, you know, it was nice to look up and be proud, to look up to something, and of course nostalgia, and in that beautiful memory there, you also brought your grandmother and the house you were brought up in. And of course, in the second part of the dream, you're looking at your aunt and saying, well, she's got some of my mum's things. So there's that nostalgia thing and thread to family and nostalgia running through that second part of the dream too. So without going to the second part of the dream, I'm just going to recapitulate this and then ask you if you would like to share what it may or may not be reflecting in your life at the moment. So there's that feeling in the dream of you've got the tradition and a bit of nostalgia in the carpet too. You know, it was crimson, turquoise, deep blue, and you were saying at some point, well, that's how things used to be. I thought this was going to be something new. So there's that whole theme throughout the dream of comfort, familiarity, versus what is new and modern, of kind of trusting the process a bit because maybe you don't know enough about what's new and what will work and what won't work, but also coming to that feeling at the end of actually I've got something, the plaster cornices, I've got something which you really can't do better than that. You know, it's absolutely beautiful. I love it. I'm proud of it. And there may be questions in the couple of days leading up to the dream where your conflicts were around what's tasteful and what's being over-inclusive. Am I being aloof or am I being engaged, and busyness and relaxation? So at this stage, is there anything you can add to what was actually happening or what this means to you so far?
It actually is amazing because it does have really strong threads to what I'm kind of going through a bit in my life at the moment. It's regarding a change in career, and I've kind of had a bit of frustration about perhaps reviving or continuing probably my career, and I'm kind of feeling that without being too perhaps conceited about it, I think I have a lot of skills and a lot of experience, but I'm kind of don't think they're valued now, or they're being kind of put aside for other more modern skills, which people are more, you know, 21st century skills, which I think anyone can do really, including myself, but it's kind of like they're the priority for people now as opposed to the old skills. So I'm kind of seeing a lot of the connection there and what you've just said about that. I also have a certain amount of pride that I will not sort of, you know, sort of go chasing after any old position or any old job for the sake of it, because I kind of have my standards, if you like.
Yes.
And I believe that what I can do is pretty good, you know, no better than anyone else, but I think it's a lot better than what they're actually giving other people to do at the moment. So there's a sense of perhaps a little bit of pride and a little bit of aloofness. I'm choosing not to maybe chase after stuff willy-nilly because I actually think that's a bit beneath me, sort of thing.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm seeing a lot of what you have said about that in perhaps, you know, in what's going on in my life. But then having said that, just a few days before I had this dream, I kind of, if you like, had a bone thrown at me, to me, and it's turning out to be really lovely and good.
Unexpected,
and,
you mean?
And I've been a little unsure of it, but it's come out of not exactly nowhere, but certainly not out of an expected field. And now I hadn't even kind of thought about the fact that it connected to this, but I can see that it well could. Yeah.
So without saying anything that you don't want to say, or without being specific, if you know, because you don't need to be, with the bone that's been thrown to you and it was unexpected, does it have shades of you being able to take your own skills that you've had for so long and use them in a more modern arena?
Absolutely, yes, very much. Yeah, it's absolutely perfect, you know, in so many ways. It's what I mean is that the person who's come to me with it, what she's looking for is exactly what I do. She's not trying to make me do what I do in the way that she wants it to be done, or you know, and that she's not sort of saying, here, but I want you to go online and I want you to Google and I want you to tweet and I want you to, you know, like, she's kind of not using modern day parlances for the fact that I can do that anyway, but she's kind of actually saying, I want a really, really good writer, sort of thing. So that's
fantastic.
Kind of really nice. So
So if you, congratulations, that's really good.
Well, I hope I'm not speaking too soon, but it certainly looks good anyway.
Yeah, and that's what your dream is processing. So it does look good, and it looks like the lovely plaster cornices. It looks like by sticking in there, you've managed to get what you really wanted. But was there any feeling at the time of the dream that there might have been a bit of lime green carpet in that bone that was thrown to you?
Yeah, because nothing's perfect in life. So, you know, you've got to, I can't remember the saying now, but look, there's some elements of it that may not be all fabulous. But that's not part of that. That's another thing that I'll be doing as well that won't be necessarily the loveliest thing. It was a call, actually, that another person had given me about some other work, which she said, look, you won't really like it. It's very dreary, but, you know, it's there. So that's probably the lime green carpet.
Yeah.
So it's not the nice thing. That's another thing again.
It
came almost at the same time, chronologically, yeah.
So that's interesting, Julie, because even if you go and do them both, you go and do them both with the wisdom of knowing why you make the choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm somehow like even thinking of your dad there with that feeling of, well, there's some things you do, but you can have the nice cornices as well. There's the special things that you focus on that you really are meaningful and valuable to you. But having said that, although they both came at the same time and are kind of both processed in the dream, I love the flip at the end of the dream, which is, you know, we've got really nice plaster cornices. It's got that feeling of, you know, look, the lime green carpet's going to go. So what that can mean is that the other part of the other job possibility that's come to you that feels dreary may turn out to be a lime green carpet. You may toss it out and not have to do it, or you may take it on and actually over a period of time see it in a different way, or be able to gradually shape it so that it becomes more of a cornice than a lime green carpet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes our dreams, you know, the symbols, lime green carpet, royal crest, all these things are the ways that our unconscious mind tries to picture back to us our feelings, emotions and experiences and beliefs. So they come from us. And so, you know, our unique dream symbols have a gift over days and weeks to be able to talk to us if we contemplate them and ponder them, and to have that feeling of even being able to transform a dream symbol. So that feeling of, even though it may seem logically impossible at the moment, to be able to contemplate the job that feels like a lime green carpet, and imagine, and this is the process of dream alchemy, imagining yourself being back in that dream, but looking at the lime green carpet, and rather than ripping it down, seeing the lime green carpet square just shift and change and more colour, and ever so gradually actually blend very beautifully with the cornices, and actually in that blending add a touch of solid gold around the edges, or something that just adds an extra touch of value to what you've already got and treasure. And that by really changing the symbol of your dream, it can surprisingly, just like that bone came at you so surprisingly, it can surprisingly actually change the waking life situation, sometimes because we change our feelings about it and therefore we actually have more input in how the carpet's rolled out and put down.
Yes.
So I just very briefly wanted to just look at the last bit, Julie. You can probably see now how similar that last bit is. You know, you've got your aunt. What three words would you use to describe that aunt's personality?
I think kind, frail, kind. Oh, well, frail's probably not her personality, is it? Kind. Quiet, I suppose, and kind of quiet, and she's a little sad now too, because she's getting old and losing her friends, and my mum, who was her closest sister, has gone, so I think she's starting to feel her age too quite a lot.
So she's kind and quiet and sad because of a sense of loss, a sense of time passing, and yet in that part of the dream she makes a move which really surprises you, and she turned out in the dream to be enthusiastic as well, you said, which is, you know, usually during a time of feeling a sense of loss, we're not enthusiastic.
That's right.
And she took forward with her some things that had belonged to your mum, which made you in the dream feel comforted. So there's that sense there of things belonging to mum can be values that we appreciate from other people's lives that we bring into our own, or memories about what other people have given us on an emotional or spiritual level that we bring into our lives after they've gone. There's that sense of comfort there, of continuum. So I guess in some ways that part of the dream is, like you, Julie, may or may not be reviewing some of the stuff that you've, the sense of loss in your life, like the loss of some aspects of your career because people have different values these days, as you described earlier on today. And yet the sense in that second part of the dream that even with loss, people can make change and become enthusiastic and take forward some element from the past, which is represented by your mum's stuff in the dream, that gives you comfort. So in both dreams, there's a sense of no matter what you do with these two bones, Julie, or where you go from here, your unconscious mind, because that's the value of looking at your dreams, your unconscious mind is really right in there with you in saying, you know, people may think I'm being aloof, but I am going to take these traditional, long, hard-earned, experience, wise years and skills with me because I know that they are good. I know they're still valid. And I may move into some modern arenas and do things slightly differently, but I don't have to drop the past to do that. I can actually blend it and take it forward with me.
That's good. So that you're saying my subconscious mind kind of is holding that and believing that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's really important. I mean, I tend not to use the word subconscious. I say you're either conscious of it or you're not. So if you're not, it's unconscious.
Okay.
But the thing is that our unconscious mind, and I was explaining to someone the other day that another way to look at the unconscious mind is to call it your automatic mind, because in any situation, we may be conscious of our situation and make conscious decisions and act in this way or act in that way. But if you're unconscious or your automatic mind is programmed differently, you're going to do something different to what you say, or you're going to feel something different to how you know you should feel. You know, you're going to put your foot in it. So one of the values of dreams is looking to see, what are my conscious mind and my unconscious mind happy? Are they in agreement? Are they in alignment with what I'm dealing with in my life now? Because if they are, I know I can make good decisions and follow through, and my unconscious mind isn't going to muck things up for me. Whereas if you've got a dream and you can see conflict between the two, it's like you're going, yeah, my conscious mind says I'm going to do this, this, this. And in the dream, it's like, ha, 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 here's the unconscious mind. I've got a different opinion. You know, I feel this. You'll see that in a dream where the dream has conflict, where it's unresolved at the end, like really unresolved. Yours weren't, because you actually felt good at the end of the dreams. You had a different vision of the cornices. But there's conflict at the end of the dream. Nothing seems to be sorted out. It's too puzzling. Those are the dreams where your unconscious mind has a different opinion from your conscious mind. So anything that you set out to do rationally and consciously is probably going to be undermined. And then the power of looking at the dream then is knowing that your unconscious mind has a different mindset, working out what it is, which you can see from the dream, and using exercises like dream alchemy to reprogram that unconscious mind so that it is working for you. So in yours, what I would say is your dreams are a beautiful demonstration of how perfectly our dreams reflect what is happening for us in our waking life. And your dreams also give you really beautiful, rich symbols for you to decide not to necessarily change, but how you can hone them or fine-tune them or further elaborate them, so that as you work with those symbols, like maybe not ripping off the lime green carpet, but letting it morph and change and add something to the plaster cornices, that kind of thing, as you play around with that symbol and visualize that, which is dream alchemy, then, as I say, in waking life, you may then be able to work with the lime green carpet situation in a different way that actually further enriches your life, still by using your own skills and talents. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes. Mm. Well, thank you. I hope I can.
I know you can, Julie.
Because thanks, Reza.
Look, just by listening to the way you describe your dream and the way you respond to the symbols, and obviously as a writer, you have a visionary mind, and that you can envisage and imagine, and see the process of change, and that is the process of working with your symbol. So what I would do if I were you is have a sit down, take that on board, relate it to when you started that new job in 2001 as well. Think about how much of my life feels like a putting green, and why don't I like that? Because that's the lime green. And then I would, for a couple of weeks, I would be visualizing that green, lime green square of carpet on the ceiling, but morphing and adding to the richness of the corners, perhaps by just, as I said earlier, becoming white, moving its essence into the cornice and adding some gold or a sheen or whatever feels right to you, so that you're actually changing. To visualize that maybe 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, and just see how that further fine tunes and further creates those better opportunities that are already coming your way.
Yep. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Well, thanks for being a really beautiful guest on the show today. And do stay in touch, and either just let me know how things pan out, or if things pan out and you think I'd really like to share this with the audience, let me know and I can share them in a future show.
Oh, I will. Thanks, Jane Teresa.
Thanks, Julie. I enjoyed that one. Did you enjoy that one? It was rather nice. If you'd like to be a guest on the Dream Show, just go to the Dream Show section of my blog at janeteresa.com. Click podcasts on the top menu bar and you'll find out how you can be a guest on the show. We've also recently introduced an opportunity for you to help support the ongoing work of the Dream Show. It does take up thousands of hours, far more behind the scenes than you'd realize, of energy and effort. Not only creating the podcast show, but making it technically available, maintaining the site, keeping it in a way that, all of you can download and listen on a regular basis. So we have made a system available where you can help financially with that by making a contribution of less than the cup of coffee every month for as few or as many months as you'd like, to just add really a little bit to our ability to be able to continue to build and maintain this. As you can imagine, an enormous number of people access the Dream Show and listen to all the episodes for free, which is what the resource is there for, to enable them to understand their own dreams and help other people with theirs. So if you'd like to help in that way, please go to the podcast section of the Dream Show, or you'll also find it elaborated on the shop site under the heading Goodies. Now, on that probably slightly puzzling note, I'm going to go. And we will be putting out the next show in 4 weeks' time. So episode 141 will go live on July the 26th. Have a wonderful 4 weeks. I wish you wonderful dreams, interesting insights. And remember, if I can help you in any way, pop along to the shop or the websites and discover the ways in which I can help you to understand your dreams and your life in intelligent, meaningful ways. Have a lovely month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.